This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to have a difficult conversation when you have already lost your temper once before. Repair the damage, reset the dynamic, and finish what you started. In short, losing your temper before a difficult conversation does not disqualify you from finishing it. It just means you have one extra thing to address first. Acknowledge what happened directly, without hedging or over-explaining. We enter the conversation with a clear purpose, not just a cleaner mood. Complete the original issue, because unresolved tension does not disappear on its own. Definition: difficult conversation repair is the process of returning to a workplace conversation that broke down because of lost composure or emotional escalation. It requires acknowledging the rupture, rebuilding enough trust to speak productively, and completing what the original conversation was meant to resolve. Think about a moment when you said something too sharp, too loud, or too final, and you watched the other person shut down. The conversation you needed to have did not happen. Instead, you left a room with a damaged relationship and an unresolved problem still sitting there. That is the particular pain of a difficult conversation that went wrong before it even properly began. The difficulty is not just the original issue anymore. Now you carry the weight of what you did, alongside the work that still needs doing. Most people either avoid the second attempt entirely or wade back in without addressing the first failure, and both choices make things worse. This article gives you a practical, step-by-step process for difficult conversation repair: how to acknowledge what happened, re-establish enough trust to speak honestly, and see the conversation through to genuine resolution. Why the second attempt feels harder than the first. The moment you lost your temper, the conversation changed shape. Before, it was about an issue between two people. After, it is about an issue between two people, one of whom has now demonstrated that they might lose control again. The other person is not just cautious about the topic anymore. They are cautious about you. This is the specific difficulty of coming back after an outburst. You are not starting a fresh conversation. You're entering one where the other person is already on guard, already reading your tone for early warning signs, already deciding how much they are willing to say. The stakes are higher, and the margin for error is smaller. I have been on both sides of this. I have been the one who snapped and had to go back. I have been the one waiting to see if the person who snapped would come back with genuine accountability or the polished excuse. The difference between those two outcomes is not talent or seniority. It is preparation and honesty. What needs to be true before you go back? Before you attempt difficult conversation repair, two things must be genuinely in place. First, your emotional state must be settled, not just suppressed. There's a difference between being calm and being controlled. Calm means the original anger has actually dissipated. Controlled means you're holding it down temporarily, and it is likely to resurface under pressure. Attempting repair in a controlled state rather than a calm one almost always produces a second incident. Second, you must be clear about why you're going back. If your primary motivation is to feel less guilty, the conversation will serve you, not the other person. If you're going back to finish what the original conversation was meant to resolve, and to do it properly, that is the right foundation. Know which one it is before you sit down. If neither condition is met, wait. Rushing repair to relieve your own discomfort is not accountability. It is another form of self-interest. The six-step process for re-entering a conversation you already damaged. Step 1. Request the conversation explicitly. Do not appear at someone's desk or drop an issue into an existing meeting. Send a short, plain message asking to speak. Say something like, "I would like to come back to what we discussed. I know it did not go well last time. Can we find 20 minutes this week?" This matters for two reasons. It gives the other person agency, and it signals that you are treating this as something that requires care, not something you're casually picking back up. Step 2. Open with direct acknowledgement, not preamble. When the conversation begins, do not spend the first 5 minutes warming up, making small talk, or explaining your circumstances before you address what happened. Go directly to it. A usable opening sounds like this. "I want to start by acknowledging what happened in our last conversation. I lost my temper. That was not fair to you, and it made it impossible to resolve what we actually needed to sort out. I am sorry." That is it. Say what you did. Name the impact. Apologize. Do not qualify it with, "But I was under a lot of pressure," or "You have to understand the context." Any sentence that begins with, but after an apology cancels the apology. Step 3. Give them room to respond before moving forward. After your acknowledgement, stop talking. This is one of the hardest steps, because silence feels like risk. But the other person has been sitting with what happened too, and they may have things to say about it. Let them. If they express frustration, hear it without defending yourself. If they say they're fine and want to move on, accept that at face value and proceed. If they need a moment, give it. Your job at this stage is to listen, not to manage their response toward the outcome you prefer. This connects directly to how to handle conflict during meetings, where the same principle applies. People in tension need space before they can hear anything you say. Step 4. Restate the original purpose clearly. Once the acknowledgement has been received, name what the conversation still needs to accomplish. Do not assume the other person remembers exactly what you were trying to resolve, or that they frame it the same way you do. Say something like, "What I originally wanted to talk about was the deadline on the Henderson project and how we divide the remaining work. I think we still need to settle that. Is that how you see it? Or is there something else I'm missing?" This step restores the conversation to its actual purpose. It also shows the other person that you came back to fix the problem, not just to fix how you look. Step 5. Conduct the conversation with deliberate composure. Now you are in the substance of it. This is where many people make the mistake of thinking the hard part is over because the acknowledgement went well. It is not over. You are now in a charged conversation about a real issue, and the other person is still watching whether the temper returns. Go slower than feels natural. Pause before responding to anything that provokes you. If you feel the tension rising, name it plainly. "I want to be careful here because I know this topic got heated last time. Can I take a second before I respond to that?" For a structured way to stay grounded under that kind of pressure, the approach described in How to Use the Core Framework to Stay Calm When Feedback Triggers a Defensive Reaction applies directly here. Step 6. Close with a clear agreement and a follow-through commitment. Do not let the conversation drift to an end. When you have reached a resolution, name it explicitly. "So what we have agreed is that you will handle the client brief by Thursday, and I will confirm the revised scope with the director by the same day. Does that cover it?" Then do exactly what you said you would do by the time you said you would do it. Trust after rupture is not rebuilt by words. It is rebuilt by follow-through, and the period immediately after a repair conversation is when your actions matter most. When the other person does not want to re-engage. Sometimes the person you need to speak with is not ready, or genuinely unwilling, to have the conversation again. This happens, and it requires a different approach. Do not push. Pushing someone into a conversation they do not want to have will confirm that you are still operating in your interests rather than theirs. Instead, send a brief written acknowledgement of what happened, with no request for an immediate response. Give them a realistic time frame. "I understand if you are not ready to revisit this right now. I will leave it with you. And if you are open to it next week, I would welcome the chance." In high conflict settings, or where a relationship has broken down more seriously, the bridge method for rebuilding working relationships after tension provides a structured path through what is genuinely a longer repair process. Not every rupture is resolved in a single conversation. If the other person involves a manager or HR, do not treat that as an attack. Treat it as information about how serious the impact of your outburst was, and respond accordingly with honesty rather than defensiveness. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. The 3 mistakes people make when they try to repair. The mistake: over-explaining the circumstances that led to losing their temper. Why it happens. It feels like context will create understanding and reduce judgment. What to do instead? Keep the acknowledgement clean and brief. Context can follow, but only after the apology has been received, not as part of it. The mistake: rushing back into the original issue before the acknowledgement has landed. Why it happens. The issue still feels urgent, and the person wants to get to it quickly. What to do instead? Slow down. If the other person does not feel genuinely heard first, nothing you say about the issue will land cleanly. The mistake: treating the repair conversation as done once the other person says it is fine. Why it happens. It is fine feels like permission to move on. What to do instead? Follow through on every commitment you make in the conversation. Trust is rebuilt over time, not in a single exchange. Starting a difficult conversation that is blocking your team becomes far easier when there is an established pattern of following through on what you say. Before you go back, a preparation checklist. Work through this before the conversation, not during it. Number 1. Have I fully settled emotionally, not just decided to go back? Number 2. Do I know what specific behaviour I'm acknowledging, in plain language? Number 3. Am I clear on what the original conversation was meant to resolve? Number 4. Have I requested the conversation explicitly, rather than initiating it without warning? Number 5. Do I have a composure anchor ready, a grounding phrase or pause practice, for if tension rises during the conversation? Number 6. Am I prepared to listen to the other person's response, without defending myself? Number 7. Do I know what a clear, concrete resolution looks like, so I can name it when we reach it? Number 8. Have I identified one specific follow-through action I will complete after the conversation? Print it. Keep it on your desk. Going into repair conversation without preparation is how the second attempt becomes a second failure. For situations where team dynamics are more broadly fractured, the deal method for resolving conflicts that fracture team synergy gives you a complementary structure for the wider repair work. And if the tension involves two colleagues who are refusing to cooperate entirely, using the deal method to diffuse tension between colleagues who refuse to cooperate extends the same principles further. The conversation is not over just because you walked away. Here is the truth of it. When you leave a room after losing your temper, the conversation does not end. It continues in the other person's head, in your team's awareness, and in the unresolved issue that still sits between you. Walking away only pauses it. The question is not whether to go back. It is whether you go back with the credibility to finish what you started. That credibility comes from honest acknowledgement, patient listening, and consistent follow-through. Not from smoothing things over quickly and hoping the tension disappears on its own. Difficult conversation repair is a skill like any other. You get better at it by doing it well, and you do it well by preparing before you walk back into the room. The core framework for staying grounded during a tense workplace conversation is worth building into your regular practice, not just for the conversations after an outburst, but for all the ones where the pressure is high and the stakes are real. You lost your temper once. That is recoverable. Go back. Do it properly, and finish the work. Frequently asked questions. What is difficult conversation repair? Difficult conversation repair is the process of returning to a workplace conversation that broke down because of lost composure or emotional escalation. It involves acknowledging the rupture, rebuilding enough trust to speak productively, and completing what the original conversation was meant to resolve. How do you re-enter a difficult conversation after losing your temper? Start with a genuine acknowledgement of your behaviour, not a defence or explanation. Then signal clearly that you want to finish the conversation properly. Give the other person room to respond before moving into the substance of what still needs to be resolved. How long should you wait before attempting a difficult conversation repair? Wait long enough for your own emotional state to settle completely, usually 24 to 48 hours for most workplace situations. Attempting repair while still activated tends to produce a second flare-up. The goal is to return calm, not just quieter. What do you say to open a difficult conversation you already started badly? Keep it plain and direct. Something like, I want to come back to what we were discussing. I lost my temper, and that was not acceptable. I would like to finish this conversation properly if you are willing. Short, honest, no over-explaining. Why does apologizing sometimes make a difficult conversation worse? A poor apology focuses on your feelings rather than the impact on the other person. Phrases like I'm sorry, you felt that way, or I was just frustrated shift blame. A useful apology names your specific behavior and its effect, then stops talking and listens. How do you stay calm during a difficult conversation when you have a history of losing your temper? Prepare a composure anchor before the conversation, a single grounding phrase you return to when tension rises. Slow your breathing before responding. Give yourself permission to pause mid-conversation. The core framework is a practical tool for managing this kind of in-the-moment pressure. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.